All right, Shavuot say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf Zayin, and we are picking up Emirat Hashem at the bottom of Vav on the Beis 6b. We thank our sponsors for this morning's shir, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar, the Lerner Mishpacha, for dedicating all the shiurim and drushas this month of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Dina Bas Yehuda Leib. We thank Paul and Kathy Pollack, our sponsors for the week of learning, in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zachariah, Ben Zachariah and Dina Bas Pesach, who are both Nifter in the month of Adar, Mr. and Mrs. Shmuel Artman, and Mr. and Mrs. Moshe David Artman, for dedicating the Shiurim this week, Le'ilui Nishmas, their father, on the occasion of his 20th yard site, Fishel Beryl Ben Yitzchak Gershon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nisham will have an Aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And Rabbi, with that, let us begin. A beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. So we're picking up again from the two dots. Daf Zayin is today's Daf, Vav Amud Beis, seven lines up from the bottom is where we are beginning. Amar Mar. Still not there. So Amar Mar. Aval Yam Ubika Vaistavanis Vakarmelis Enon Lokir Shus Hayochid Velokir Shus Harabim. So remember again, quoting from the Braisa that we saw yesterday, so Mar said, but the Yam, the sea, Bika refers to open fields. Istavanis is that seating area that we spoke about yesterday, that area that has the small pillars inside of it. Vakarmelis, so these areas do not have the status or identity of a Rishus Hayachid, nor do they have the status and identity of a Rishus Harabim. So the Gemara says, Ubika, is that true that open fields don't have the status of Rishus Hayachid or Rishus Harabim? V'hatnan, but we learned, V'habika b'mozachama Rishus Hayachid l'shabis. We learned, Rabbi Osai, that ultimately, again, a bika, fields. Remember, bika means open fields. During the summertime, is like a Rishus Hayachid. Rabbi Osai, what's the distinction over here? So remember, again, fields are planted with grain. When the grain is in the ground, when the grain is growing, people don't normally traverse fields under those circumstances because they don't want to go ahead and ruin the crop. So once the wheat is harvested, then people will go ahead and walk through a field. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah over here, that during the summer, which means after the harvest has already taken place, ultimately, again, the field has the status of a Rishus Hayochid. Because people won't, the Gemara is right, So the field during the summertime will be a Rishus Hayochid for Shabbos and a Rishus Harabim for Tumah. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Bimos Hachama is Ein She'in Bazroim. There's nothing growing in the field. Therefore, Rishus Hayochid for Shabbos, the Halav Hiluch Rabim Hu, She'in Rabim Mistalkim Min HaMasila Leilich Basoda. So for Shabbos purposes, so remember, a Rishus Harabim is defined by pedestrian traffic. So even when the field doesn't have produce growing there, people generally won't cut through a field. They'll go ahead and instead use proper or normal roadways. So during the summertime, even when there's no produce, it's still called the Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos. But interestingly enough, it's called the Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah. We'll say, what does that mean? We know that the halacha by Tumah is Safik Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. If you have doubtful Tumah and Rishus HaRabim, ultimately, again, it is Tahar. Safek Tumah Birshus Hayochid is Tomei. So ultimately, again, therefore, when it comes to Tumah purposes, this is called the Rishus Harabim. Bimos Agishomi, but during the rainy season means that ultimately there are crops that are planted inside of the field. Rishus Hayochid Lekano Lekan. Ultimately, this field has the status of a Rishus Hayochid both ways. Because obviously, once there's produce that's actually growing inside of it, then Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha lemaisa, it's going to be, people won't walk through it, and therefore it's a Rishus Hayochid regardless. Amar Ula, so we'll say, so again, here's the problem. Mar just said before that what? That the Bika, is not like a Rishus Hayochid, nor is it like a Rishus Harabim. And yet here, according to this Mishnah, it seems clear that the Bika sometimes is like a Rishus Hayochid, and sometimes is like a Rishus Harabim. But at least for Shabbos purposes, ultimately, again, it's always considered to be a Rishus Hayochid. So what's going on? Amar Ula, Li'ulam Karmelis Haber. In reality, Rishus Hayochid is considered to be a Karmelis. Remember, Rabbi says, we saw yesterday, a Karmelis is an area that on one hand has certain characteristics of a Rishus HaRabim, in that, again, it's a more public sphere, but lacks some element, some detail of Rishus HaRabim. For example, more often than not, what it lacks is pedestrian traffic. So really, says the Imara, so the Olam, really, because of Carmelis. So why does the Mishnah call it a Rishus HaYachid? Lefi she'ina Rishus HaRabim. Because since it's not a Rishus HaRabim, it calls it a Rishus HaYachid. So we'll say, so apparently what the Gemara is saying is that sometimes we'll label a space as a Rishus HaYachid, not because it's really a Rishus HaYachid, but what? Because it's not a Rishus HaRabim. All right, Rav Ashi says no. Top of Zayin, kigon de isla mechitzas. We're talking about a field that has partitions, that has walls around it. The Gemara says, and that's why it's calling it a Rishus HaYachid. Even though, again, it's not really a Rishus HaYachid, as we'll see in just a moment, but because it has walls, it resembles a Rishus HaYachid. V'chi hada amar ula amar Rabbi Yochanan karfeif yoser mi beis sasayim shelo hukaf ladira. So both says, we're going to see a karfeif. We'll see this more in Erevin. But a karfeif is an area of two base saw, which is an area of like 50 by 100 amas. So Rav says, so a karfeif, which is more than two saw, shelo hukaf ladira, that ultimately, again, has not been enclosed for residential purposes. Vafilu kur, vafilu kurayim, hazorik lesocho chayiv. If one throws an object from Rishus HaRabim into an enclosed karfeif, one will be chayiv. Now, interestingly enough, you're talking about a large open area that has a wall, but yet was not walled for residential purposes. Yet the Gemara says that if you're standing in Rishus HaRabim and you throw something into that area, you will be chayiv. My taima, mechitzehi ela shemechuseres diyurin. Ultimately, we'll say, why is that? Because here's what's interesting. What the Gemara is introducing us to, and again, we'll talk more about this, is the concept that although ideally, in order to be a Rishus HaYachid, something has to be lived in, but Allah Lamaisa, if something has a mechitza, if something has a partition around it, that at least makes it into a quasi Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, if you have a karfeif, which is a large, unlived-in area, but it has a mechitza, that mechitza essentially transforms it into a Rishus HaYachid, to the point that if you throw something from the Rishus HaRabim into that karfeif, you will be chayiv. So bishlam ravashi lo amar kidu'ula. So we'll say, so now we have two interpretations. Ultimately, again, in terms of why we're calling the bika a Rishus HaYachid. So Ula said, in reality, the bika is really a karmelis. So but why are we calling it a Rishus HaYachid? To highlight that it's not a Rishus HaRabim. Okay. And Rav Yochanan is saying, what's the case? The case is ultimately, again, of a bika that has a wall. That's why we're calling it a Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Ashi lo amar kidu ula. So I'll say, I understand why Rav Ashi doesn't hold of ula, because he just holds that ultimately, again, it's a fundamentally different case. Elu ula, my time elu amar kishmaite. But why doesn't ula himself subscribe to his idea? Because remember again, Ula himself was the author of that opinion, who's Ula named Rabbi Yochanan, who said that if you have a karfeif that's enclosed by a wall, that area becomes a Rishus HaYachid. So isn't the easiest way to understand the statement that a bika is a Rishus HaYachid is to understand it as a case of a bika that's surrounded by a wall? To which the Gemara says, Amar lecha, idi isle mechitzas, bika karile, karfeif kari. So the Gemara says, because Ula would say that if you have a bika that is surrounded by a wall, then what? That is no longer called a bika. That is no longer called a bika. What is that called, Rabbi Osai? That is called a karfeif. The Gemara says, "Varavashi Rishus HaYachid Katani." And the Vashi will say, ultimately, again, yes, that's true. But at the end of the Rashi says, "Ravashi Amr Lecha Rishus HaYachid Katani VeKarmelis Lo Kari Latana Rishus HaYachid." So ultimately, Ravashi will say, but it's still being called a Rishus HaYachid. And if it was truly a karmelis, the Tana would not call a Rishus HaYachid a karmelis, or a karmelis a Rishus HaYachid. So we'll say, so bottom line, here's what we have. A bika, all right, a field under normal circumstances is actually still called, a bika is a karmelis. It happens to be that there's something that's occurring over here that is pushing us to call this particular bika a Rishus HaYachid. So there's a machlokes ultimately why that is. There's a machlokes why that is. About what is it that's driving us to call this bika Rishus HaYochid. So one interpretation says it's really just called Rishus HaYochid as a way of saying that it's not a Rishus HaRabim. Other opinion says that it's because we're talking about a Bika that is surrounded by a wall. Because it's surrounded by a wall, that's why Halacha L'maisa is called the Rishus HaYochid. Good. So we'll say just definitions. Says the Gemara, about Carmelis. So we'll remember again, going back to yesterday's Gemara. So remember again, we have the idea of the Mishnah is giving us that Dalet Rishuyos, the various different domains for Shabbos purposes. So if you remember again, the Braisa did something very interesting, which was it went ahead and gave us all the different Rishuyos. So we had Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. Then it gave me the name, like a bunch of different places. The Yam, the Bika. And then it said, and Carmelis. So the Gemara says, that's strange, because Yam and Bika are locations. Carmelis is the name of a domain. But aren't all of the places mentioned all a type of Carmelis? To which the Gemara says, Va Carmelis, Atu Kulhu Nami Lav Carmelis Nenu, aren't all the places ultimately called a Carmelis? Ki Aser Avdima Am Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nitzrucha Elo Lekeren Zaves Hasmucha L'Rishus HaRabim. So this is actually very interesting. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about a corner in the Rishus HaRabim. So we'll say the best way to imagine this is as follows. Imagine you have a row of homes. Those row of homes are literally right up against the Rishus HaRabim. So we'll say it's not like today, you know, where a person has a house and there's a yard in front of your house and then you know, there's a small little street and it feeds into the big street. So imagine you have a house and it's right on the Rishus HaRabim. And I will say, so now imagine what happens. So imagine you have a row of homes right on the Rishus HaRabim, and then you have one home which is recessed. One home which is recessed a little bit. So that little recess over there, so now that little home has a space in between, they call it its front door, and the rest of the Rishus HaRabim. That's called Keren Zavis Hasmucha Rishus HaRabim. That's a corner that is next to the Rishus HaRabim. Because it will say, what's the chap with that corner? See, normally the public is not going to use that, we'll call it that corner or that indentation space. Why not? It's not convenient, right? It totally disrupts the flow of traffic. But when will it be used? When there's traffic. When the Rishus HaRabim gets very congested. So ultimately, again, it will spill over into that indentation there. To which the Gemara says, because so even though when there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, they'll spill into that recess. Nevertheless, kivun delo necha tashmishise ki karmelis dami. But nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, since it's not easily used, so they will say it's not a convenient use. Therefore, it doesn't have the status of the Rishus HaRabim. Rather, it has the status of a Carmelis. So, you hear this dramatic ruling. So now what you have over here is something fascinating. Even though, you could picture this in your mind, right? The row of homes, imagine four homes, and imagine home number three is recessed a little bit back. And therefore, what? There's Rishus HaRabim, and then there's a space. There's like a rectangle that's an additional piece. That's called Sidei Rishus. Well, that's called what we'll call Keren Zavis. Okay, so good. You can see in the article, we have a picture of this. So we'll say that's called the Keren Zavis. That's the Keren Zavis. So therefore, again, what does the Gemara say? You might have thought that that's called the Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because when there is traffic, the Rabim will spill into that. But Kamash Malan, that's what? Kamash Malan, that since it's not a normal use, or an easy use, or a convenient use, therefore what? Therefore, Halacha L'maisa doesn't have the status ultimately, again, of Rishus HaRabim, but rather it has the status ultimately. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It has the status ultimately of a Carmelis. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'dvaro. Thank you. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ki Aser Avdimi Am Rabbi Yochanan Bein Amudin Nidon Ki Carmelis. It both said the area in between the pillars. So this kind of goes back to the status of the place that we called yesterday, the Estavis, right? The Estavis is that area in front of the shops where you have all of the smaller pillars. And therefore what? That area, technically speaking, the Gemara says, is a Carmelis. My taima. Af agav the darsi be rabim kevan the lo mistagi lo behedja ki kamlas damya. Shabbos, you begin to see the definition of this new area. So these new areas are areas that are open and accessible to the public, but not easily traversed by the public. You hear this distinction? So this is Stavis, this pillar area. Same thing with the Keren Zavis, the corner in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. These are areas that are open and accessible to the Rabbim, so anyone has permission to be there. In that respect, they're public domain, but they don't allow for unimpeded pedestrian traffic. And in the absence of the ability to have unimpeded pedestrian traffic, that can't be called a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So what are you if you are public domain but don't allow for unimpeded pedestrian traffic? You are now what? You are a Carmelis. You are a Carmelis. Amrav Zira, Amrav Yehuda. It's Tava Shelefnei Ha'amudim, Nidon Ki Carmelis. Similarly, Rabbosai, if you have, Rabbosai, and this is an additional case, imagine you have an area with smaller pillars, and then you have larger stone tables, which are there as well. Larger stone tables. So what's the halacha? Ha'amudim nidon ki karmelis. Excuse me. It's such that ne'a karmelis. Ha'amudim nidon ki karmelis. So ultimately, again, the area of the pillars has the status of a karmelis. That's kind of what we just said before. To which the Gemara Salamanda Amar Bein Amudim Kol Shekin Itzdava. So the one who said that the area between the pillars is considered to be a karmelis, all the more so the area of the stone tables. Lemandamer itztaba, but the one who said the area of the stone tables, itztaba hu dolonecha tashmishisei. So the area of the stone tables, where ultimately again you don't have unimpeded use. Aval bein amudim dinecha tashmishisei, but between the pillars, where ultimately again one does have the ability to use the area in a more unimpeded way. Lo, ultimately again doesn't have the status of a karmelis, but has the status ultimately again of Rosh Hashanah. So what you begin to see now is there'll be a further dispute. So we'll say, let's go through our definitions. The definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not simply a public area, but it's a public area which possesses certain qualities. Now, we actually haven't seen explicitly what those qualities are, but we'll assume for right now that the qualities are a certain size and a certain level of pedestrian traffic. Those are the qualities. What we now begin to see is a Carmelis is an area which on one hand is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in its essence. It yearns, it pines to be a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. In that ultimately, again, it is open and accessible to everyone. But it's missing a detail, and primarily the detail that it's missing is it doesn't allow for unimpeded flow of pedestrian traffic. The shaila is how impeded does the flow have to be to lose its status of Rosh Hashanah to become a Carmelis? That again, that's going to come out more. Lishnachrina, aval bein amudim, between the area of the pillars, zimnin d'darsi rabim kish tzramdim. So you see this tension. Others say that in the area between the pillars, since ultimately the public will use that space to walk, kirish sarabim damya, that does in fact have the status of a rish sarabim. Amar Rav Barsh, Rav Shila, Amar Rav Chista, levina zekufa birish sarabim. We'll say an interesting case. What happens if you have a brick? Right, a levina zekufa. You have a brick that is standing up. A brick that is standing up brick. So we'll say, what's talach? A levina zekufa birish sarabim. And you take something and you throw it at the brick, and the item comes to rest on the brick. The item comes to rest on the brick. Now, we'll say, let's define our cases over here a little bit. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Levena, Stam Levena, Arkava Rachba Gimel. Suppose we're talking about a brick that has a height and a width of 3 tefachim. Suppose it's just to know what's happening over here. You are going ahead, you've stood the brick up. So now the brick is standing at a height of 3 tefachim. Height of 3 tefachim. You go ahead and you throw something at that brick. And now what happens? The item sticks to the brick. V'tach b'faneha, sticks to the brick. So this is just the easiest way to illustrate this is imagine it's like the example that Yamar is going to give is you give like an over, you throw like an overripe date. So an overripe date, which is a little bit mushy and sticky, you throw it at the brick and it sticks to the brick. Sticks to the brick. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Zarach v'tach b'faneha chayiv. If it sticks to the side of the brick, ultimately you'll be chayiv. Because we're both say, since it sticks to the side of the brick, the height of the brick is only what? Is only what? 3 tefachim. If it sticks to the side of the brick, then what does that mean? And what does it mean? It has come to rest where? Within 3 tefachim of the ground. What's the halacha of anything within 3 tefachim of the ground? Right, is that it's considered to be at rest on the ground. So therefore, that's as if you've gone ahead and done an act of hanacha, and you are chayiv. Al gaba, Now watch this. What happens if the item comes to rest on top of the brick? On top of the brick. What's the halacha? Potter. It will be potter. Now, we'll say, now this is actually very interesting. Why is it that you will be potter? So if you look at Rashi, potter, second wide line, potter, kidemuki la abai rabbi gova gimel, dilo darsi barabim davi makum liatzma. We'll say, so watch this. Abai rabbi damit habayu, vahushe gava shlosha. This is only assuming that the brick is at least three tefachim high. Dilo darsi la rabbim. We'll say, fascinating. Something that is more, that is three tefachim taller or more, people don't step on that. Instead, what do people do? People step around it. See, interestingly enough, what we're now seeing over here is that anything that has a certain height in the Rishus HaRabim that people won't step on, but they will instead step around, ultimately acquires a separate and distinct status. So therefore, if you throw the item and it lands... A lot of stuff going on over here. I would say, if you throw the item ultimately again, and it lands on top of the brick, halacha lemaisa, it is as if it has landed in a different rishos. Now, what rishos is that? It's not a rishos hayachid, and it's not a rish, and it's not a karmelis. But ultimately, again, because people in the public sphere would not walk on top of that, therefore, it's its own rishos, and you will be chayiv. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, this is very interesting. Aval hizmi vihigi afagav delo gavah shlosha. Rabbi Yosef, things like a thorn bush, right? What about a thorn bush in Rishus HaRabim? Same idea, halacha lemaisa, people will go ahead and walk on that if halacha lemaisa they have shoes. So Rabbi Yosef, so interestingly enough, this idea of three tefachim of height making a difference for shoes only applies to something that people would not normally walk on. So people don't walk on a brick that is more than three tefachim on height. But let's say again, hizmi vehigi, Rashi says, the darsi alayu b'sandalehen. People will walk on a thorn bush if they're wearing shoes, even if halacha l'maisa has more than three tefachim in height. So the Gemara says, v'aval hizmi vehigi, d'afagav d'logav v'shlosha, v'chiyya barav amar, afilu hizmi vehigi. So chiyya barav says, no, it's not true. Even thorn bushes, halacha l'maisa, people won't walk on. People will walk on, excuse me. So we'll say, I'm sorry, let me go back to that for just a moment. So the Gemara's original idea is that halacha l'maisa, thorn bushes, even if they're less than three tefachim in height, people won't walk on top of them. To which the Gemara says, even thorn bushes, people may walk on, however, about so low. But I will say, if there's excrement, people don't walk on that, even if it's less than three tefachim in height. Ravashi says, no, it could even be tzoa. So we'll say, so what you begin to see is something very interesting over here. What you begin to see is that halacha l'maisa, here's what we know. The principle is that you could have something that is in the public domain that has a certain height in which a person won't walk on it, but rather a person will walk around it. At that point in time, the top of that item essentially becomes a rishus onto itself. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, if you were to throw something from the Rishus HaRabim onto the top of that area, you would be putter, because that would be ke'ilu, you're throwing it into a makom p'tur, a place ultimately, again, of exemption. So the Gemara goes right to Amar Rabba, Debe Rav Shila, Kiasar Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Karmelis Pechusa Me Arba. A Karmelis is never less than an area of four tefachim. V'amar Rav Sheshes, V'tosefes Adasara. And it could go, right, it could go up until 10. 10 tefachim. So Gemara says, what does that mean? My V'tosefes Adasara. I will say, what does that statement mean, that it could go until 10? Ilema di'ika mechitza asara hu dahavi Karmelis, V'ilo lahavi Karmelis. If you want to say that it means that a Karmelis needs to have a mechitza, needs to have a wall, that is at least 10 tefachim surrounding it. And if it doesn't have a wall, it's not a karmelis. Velo, is that true? V'amarav gidl, amarav chiyah bar Yosef, amarav, bayis she'in besocho asara. Both an interesting case. If you have a home that has a very low ceiling, and let's say for argument's sake, there's less than 10 tefachim of interior height. So the area between the floor and the ceiling is less than 10 tefachim. V'kiruyav mashlimo la asara. But the exterior height of the wall is actually 10 tefachim or more, what's the halacha? Al gago mutter. They will say, on the roof of that home, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. Why? Because what's interestingly enough, the roof has the status of what? Of a reshus hayachid. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, it has an area of more than dalet tefachim, and it has mechitzas that are at least 10 tefachim. Remember again, it will say, we'll see in the world of mechitzos, we often do mechitzos as extending upward and extending downward. So in this case, where the exterior walls of the home are 10 tefachim tall, so that you could carry on the roof. You could carry unimpeded on the roof. The roof has the status of a reshus hayachid. How the Gemara says, Bisocho in metaltel in bo. Ela dalet amis. But I will say, on the inside of the house, the inside of the house does not have the status of a reshus hayachid. Why not? Because interestingly enough, it doesn't have, the walls don't have an interior height of 10 tefachim. So therefore, it does not satisfy the criteria of Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, you're limited to carrying inside only Dalet Amos. Elamai v'tosef esad Dalet. So we'll say, so what does it mean, therefore, that a Carmelis only goes until 10? Da'ad Yud hu da'havi Carmelis. L'malam Yud lo havi Carmelis. So what it sounds like it's telling us is that L'maisa, up until a height of 10, it has the status of Carmelis. More than a height of 10, it's no longer a Carmelis. What does that mean? V'chi hadar amal ishmol ravi hu da'shinina. Literally, again, don't get involved in matters of Shabbos above 10. So what does that mean? So if you want to say that, what he was saying was that Rosh Hashanah Hayachid does not extend higher than 10 tefachim. Is that really true? Vamar Rav Chista, Na'atz Kana B'Rosh Hashanah Hayachid, V'Zarak V'Nach Al Gabav. Both say if a person put a pole in the Rosh Hashanah Hayachid, and he put a basket, forget about the basket. Person put a pole in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and what happens? He threw an item from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it rested on top of the pole. So I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. There's a pole in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The pole, right? The pole extends up. I throw something from the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it comes to rest on top of the pole. What's the halacha? Afilu gavoa mea amachayiv. Even if the pole is more than 100 amas, ultimately, again, I am chayiv. Why? Mipnei shereshus hayochid ola ad l'rakia. Because the Mosai Aloch l'maisa, the private domain extends all the way up to the heavens. The Mosai, so just keep these points in mind because they're exceptionally important. So we'll say a concept like this, reshus harabim only extends up until 10 tefachim. Right above 10 tefachim, that's no longer the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rosh Hashanah Hayochid, however, extends all the way up. Ella, Amud Beis Rabbah say. So rather, what does it mean? Ella de'ein Rosh Hashanah Rabbim l'mala miyud. Rather, Rabbah say, what it was coming to teach us is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim does not extend above 10 tefachim. That's what it's coming to teach us. That halach l'maisa, although the airspace of a Rosh Hashanah Hayochid extends all the way up, the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Harabim only goes until 10 tefachim. To which the Gemara says, okay, but mas nisin hi. They both say, that's the Mefurisha Mishnah. This nan hazorik dalet amas bekosel. Both says, it's an interesting case. If a person goes ahead and throws dalet amas, now both say, just to appreciate, well, we're going to define this case a little bit. Rashi says over here, hazorik dalet amas, b'rishos harabim, v'nidbak bekosel, kegon devela shmeina. So we'll say, so apparently, again, overripe, you know, juicy, schmaltzy, sticky figs seem to be the item of choice for today's daf. So we'll say, so what's happening over here? I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and I go ahead, and I throw the item, and it travels dalet amos, and it sticks to the wall. So again, I'm throwing something at a wall. I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, I throw something at a wall, and it travels dalet amos, and it sticks to the wall. So what's the halacha? But say if the item sticks to the wall and the item landed at more than a height of 10 tefachim, then what's the halacha? Kizorik ba'avir. It's as if the item has still come to rest. Which Rabbi say means what? Meaning why is that? Well, let me say it differently. Because remember, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim only extends where? Where? Up until 10 tefachim. Higher than 10 tefachim is no longer than Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Rabbi say, so if I throw the fig and it sticks to the wall at a height above 10 tefachim, then halacha lemaisa, I have not violated anything. It is as if that item is still continuously traveling through the air. However, lematam yutfachim, if halacha lemaisa, the item lands on the wall at less than a height of 10 tefachim, kizorik baretz. Then Rabbo said, as if the item has come to rest on the ground, and I am chayiv for an act of hotzah. To which the Gemara says, okay, so Rabbo said, in other words, so I don't need another statement to teach me about the height of a rishus harabim. I already know. The halacha is that a rishus harabim, Rabbo says, so again, you keep all these details in your mind, that the height of a rishus harabim only extends to 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim will be what we call makom ptur, exempted area. So I already know that. So if what was the meaning of the statement before? Ella a karmelis. Rather, Rabbo saying, must be the statement regarding 10 tefachim was somehow related to karmelis. What does it mean? De'ein karmelis the malamiyut. Oh, then Rabbo say, ultimately we're being taught that a karmelis also does not extend above a height of 10 tefachim. That if you have a karmelis, the airspace of a karmelis only goes up until the height of 10 tefachim. So Rabbo say, what you see over here is something fascinating. So Rabbo say, when it comes to airspace, so remember, by the way, 10 tefachim is not a lot, right? 10 tefachim is like 3.5 feet. 3.5 feet. Answers your question? Good. I see you guys clearing this up here. David's counting, right? 3.5 feet. And so, really, it's not very tall. So, what you see over here is as follows. A rishus hayachiv has an airspace that's ola l'rakia, which I will say, by the way, happens to be a fascinating, it's not our topic now, we'll get to this when we get to the bubbas, that when you own property, you own airspace along with that property. This is like a major choshen mishpat issue. Like, I have a house, my house has views. Someone else owns a lot in front of me, right? So what's my claim, legabi views? I own airspace also. So we'll see all those. But again, for Shabbos purposes, airspace of private domain, ola ad rakia, goes all the way up. For public domain, Rosh Hashayachin in Karmelis, only up until Yud. And I will say, what do you see from here? You see from here a very important takeaway message. Va'akilu barabanan. I will say, therefore, when it comes to Karmelis, essentially, again, as we're going to see, is that the Karmelis has details of a Rosh Hashayachin and a Rosh Hashayachin. Va'akilu barabanan mekule Rosh Hashayachin umekule Rosh Hashayachin. The rabbis gave the Karmelis certain leniencies of a Rosh Hashayachin and certain leniencies of a Rosh Hashayachin. Mekule Rosh Hashayachin. So we'll say, how does the Karmelis have from some of the leniencies of a Rosh Hashayachid, the iika makom arba'a hu dahavya karmelis. Then I will say ultimately again, just like a Rosh Hashayachid is only a Rosh Hashayachid, if what? If it has an area of at least dalet tefachim. So to a karmelis is also only considered to be a proper area if it has a space of at least 4 tefachim. Ve'ilo, and if it doesn't have 4 tefachim, makom ptur ba'amahu. So we'll say, so that's in one respect, a karmelis has, quote-unquote, some of the leniencies of Rosh Hashayachid. Now we'll say, it doesn't really mean leniencies, what it means is what? What it means is what? Details. The karmelis has traits of Rosh Hashayachid and traits of Rosh Hashayachid. It has the traits of Rosh Hashayachid, it's just like Rosh Hashayachid, if it doesn't have a minimum space of dalet tefachim, it's not Rosh Hashayachid, it's a makom ptur, a place of exemption. So to the Karmelis, if the Karmelis doesn't have at least 4 tefachim of space, it's also called a makom ptur. On the other respect, Nikolish Sarabim, the ad yud tefachim hu dehav ye Karmelis. So we'll say it's also like Rosh Sarabim. And that's what? The Rosh Sarabim ultimately, again, only extends, only has an airspace of up to 10 tefachim. So to a Karmelis also only has space of up to 10 tefachim. So I'll say again, we continue really in this topic, ultimately of fleshing out these various reshuyos. So again, so far we have our reshus hayachid, which requires a minimum of dalid by dalid, and a mechitza of 10 tefachim. A mechitza of 10 tefachim. Airspace going all the way up at shamayim. Reshus harabim. So remember again, it has to be an area. We haven't really defined what it is yet, but what we know is it must be a certain size. What that size is, I mean, Rashi already told us that it has to be 16 amos in width. 16 amos in width. So whatever that is, do 16 times 1.5, and that'll give you the amount of feet in width, and really requires pedestrian traffic of 600,000. That's ultimately, again, what is a Rishus Harabim? A Karmelis, which is a little bit of a hybrid model. And I will say, again, when it comes to Rishus Harabim, if you have an area that has, let's say, the dimensions, but at the end of the day, does not necessarily have the pedestrian traffic, that'll become much more like a karmelis. So what's a karmelis? A karmelis is a hybrid area. On one hand, it doesn't have necessarily the details of a rishus hayachid, but yet it must have at least the makom of dalid al dalid. but its airspace only goes up to 10, like a Rishus HaRabim, but yet it must have Dalal Adah like a Rishus HaYachid. So we'll say, so essentially the Carmelis is really going to be a public area that essentially does not really live up to the criteria of unimpeded pedestrian traffic. Good. Gufa, also says a little bit weiter. Gufa, Amarav Gido, Amarav Chiyabar Yosef, Amarav. Bayis She'in Tocho Yud V'Kiruya Bashlim Aliyah. So let's go back to a case we had before. You have this fascinating case of a home that has an interior area of Dalit al Dalit, but yet does not have interior wall space of Yud. So the interior walls do not measure 10 tefachim in height. Now, Bosai, the exterior height of the walls is more than 10 tefachim, but the which means essentially, what are you dealing with over here? A house with a very, very low ceiling. So a very low ceiling. So therefore, the interior area of the interior height of the walls is less than 10 tefachim, but the exterior height of the walls is more than 10 tefachim. So what's the halacha? Mashlimo. I'm sorry. V'kiruya mashlimo liyud al gago mutil taltal lekulo bisocho in metaltalin bo ela bedalat amos. So we'll say, if you're standing on the roof, right, if you're standing on the roof, you could carry all throughout the roof. Why? Because the roof has an area of dalat al dalat. And what? By the time you get to the roof, the mechitzos do have a height of 10 tefachim. Also, remember again, just so you'll understand, the way we view those mechitzos of the home is how? As if they extend all the way up. So therefore, the rooftop is a bona fide Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara says, Am Rabbaye, V'mchaka k'bo dalet al dalet v'shlim al yud, mutra taltal b'kulo. So I'll say, interestingly enough, if you went inside the house and dug out an area of dalet by dalet, so we'll say what you did over here, let's say you went in the house, you did a little home renovation, and you dug out a square inside the floor of the home that is dalet by dalet, that is four tefachim by four tefachim. So now I will say, what do you have? You have an area of four tefachim by four tefachim, and you dug down into the ground. Why did you dig down into the ground? Because this way, when you're standing in the hole, right? When you're standing, what do you have? What do you have? You do have mechitzos that are yud tefachim ayis. So essentially, what you did is you dug down into the floor of the home, so that now where I'm standing, the mechitzos are in fact 10 tefachim high. Ultimately, you could go ahead and carry throughout the entire house. Interestingly enough, Bosi, can you hear that? You carry throughout the entire house, even beyond the dalet by dalet square. My time, what's the reason for this? Havechori Rishus Hayochid. Ultimately, again, Bosi, because interestingly enough, now the areas that surround the dalet by dalet excavation have the status of what? Chori literally means like the crevices of Rishus Hayochid. The Chori Rishus Hayochid Kirishus Hayachid double. And I will say the crevices of Rishus Hayachid have the status of Rishus Hayachid. So say, so kind of just to give you a little bit of what this is comparable to. If you remember again, over the last 2 days, so we've seen examples of like Chorei Rishus Harabim, Karen Zavis Rishus Harabim, Tzide Rishus Harabim, which are areas that are right next to the Rishus Harabim. And we've seen already there's discussion, are they like Rishus Harabim? Not like Rishus HaRabim. So what the Gemara is now suggesting is as follows. That same concept applies to Rishus HaYachid. So what the Gemara is suggesting is if you have a Rishus HaYachid, and then you have an area right next to that Rishus HaYachid, all enclosed by the same walls, the area next to the Rishus HaYachid takes on what? The status of the Rishus HaYachid itself. You hear this? Getting a lot of blank stares. Right? You hear this? Is this thing on? Okay. Well, so you see here this meaning. You see what's happening over here. So you have a house. Let's go through the case. You have a house that has interior airspace of less than 10 tefachim. What does that mean for the interior of the house? What is that? So we'll say essentially it kind of becomes like a Rishus HaRabim, you know, pretty much like, because again, you can't carry more than Dalet Amos inside of that area because it does not go ahead and live up to the criteria of Rishus HaYachid. If it's not a Rishus HaYachid and it's not a Makom Patur, then it's either a Carmelis or a Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, again, you're limited to carrying anything Dalet Amos. Interestingly enough, what's the status of the roof? Bonafide Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because that's an area that's Dalet al Dalet. And remember, the height of the exterior walls are Yud Tefachim. So now, Abaye says something very interesting. If you go inside the house and you dig out on the floor an area of dalet by dalet, you dig down. So now when you stand in that dalet by dalet square, what's the height of the walls? 10 tefachin. So Rabbi says, so now, obviously, when you're in the square, that's Rishus HaYachid, but now the Chiddush Abayi says is it also makes the rest of the interior of the house Rishus HaYachid. Because what does the rest of the interior become? What the Gemara calls Chorei Rishus HaYachid. The crevices, right? The crevices of the Rishus HaYachid. And crevices of the Rishus HaYachid have the status of Rishus HaYachid itself. The Itmar, because we learned Chorei Rishus HaYachid, Ki Rishus HaYachid Damu. It was like crevices, a chor literally means like a hole. So the truth is hole or a crevice. You'll see why the Gemara uses that lashon, but really what it means is what? Areas to the side of the Rosh HaSayachid, within the walls of the Rosh HaSayachid, still have the status of what? The Rosh HaSayachid itself. Chorish Sarabim, so we'll say, what about, again, the crevices of the Rosh Sarabim? Abayi Amar Kirsh HaSarabim, Damo Abayi says that the status of Rosh HaSarabim. Rava Amar Lav Kirsh HaSarabim, Damo. Rava says, ultimately, they do not have the status of Rosh HaSarabim. Amrali Rava La Abayi. So, Rava said to Abayi as follows. Lidi Dachta Amrit Chorish Sam Kirsh HaSarabim Damu. If you hold that the crevices of the Rosh HaSarabim ultimately again have the status of Rosh HaSarabim, Mai Shna Meha. Why is it any different than the following case? Now watch this case. Tchi Asra Avdimi Amr Rabbi Yochanan Lo Nitzrecha Ela V'Keren Zavis Hasmucha L'Rosh HaSarabim. So we'll say, I don't know, let's go back. Remember again the case we just had a little while ago. You have, we'll call it three homes that abut the Rosh HaSarabim. Let's say the middle home is recessed a little bit. So we'll say, that area in between the home, and we'll call it the Rosh HaSarabim proper. We call that on Amud Aleph, Keren Zavis Rosh HaSarabim, the corner of the Rosh HaSarabim. Remember again, we'll say from Amud Aleph, what's the status of that area? The Gemara said it's a carmelis. Why is it a carmelis? Because even though when there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, there'll be spillover into that corner, right, into that rectangle of recess, right, that recessed rectangle. But nevertheless, because it's not easy to use, therefore it doesn't have the status, ultimately, again, of Rosh Hashanah. But I don't understand. You just said now that what? That halacha lemaisa, crevices of Rosh Hashanah are like what? Are like Rosh Hashanah. So if that's the case, then that recessed rectangle should really be part of Rosh Sarabim, to which the Gemara says, "Vitehevi kechorish Sarabim," to which the Gemara says, "Here's the fundamental difference." Hasam lo necha tashmishisei, hacha necha tashmishisei. To which the Gemara says, "Here's the distinction." We'll say halacha lemaisa. So there, in the recessed rectangle, it's not. There's no ease of use. When there's no ease of use, ultimately, it means that it's not normal for people to use it. So because it's not easy and truly usable, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, ultimately, it doesn't have the status of Rosh HaSarabim. Halacha, the case of Osef Chori Rosh HaSarabim, which we have not seen yet exactly what that case is, but the case of Chori Rosh HaSarabim is a case of something that's a crevice, but easily used. Rabbi says, you hear the distinction here? If you have a situation of an area that is easily used and it abuts the Rosh HaSarabim, so that'll have the status of Rosh HaSarabim. But if an area abuts the Rosh HaSarabim but is not easily used, then what? That's not called the Rosh HaSarabim. So what will that be called? Carmelis. The Gemara says, so what's the case? Tinan. It's very interesting. Well, at least begin this case today. Hazorik Dalet Amos Bekotel. Right? Bekotel. So a person goes in and throws Dalet Amos and the object comes to rest on a wall. Rabbi will say, so again, it's not immediately clear what type of object we are referring to. Although again, of course, when it comes to throwing object at walls, our natural predisposition is assume what is being thrown? A ripe, sticky, schmaltzy date, right? That's what we're going to say. And again, good news is that's what we're going to come out to, but we have to work through this. So Azorik Dalet Amos Pekotel, a person throws an object for Amos, and we're assuming what this means right now is it comes to rest in the wall. So the malamiyud, if it comes to rest above yud tefachim, kizurik ba'avir. Then I will say it's as if the object is continuously traveling. As we saw that before, why? Because the airspace of Rosh HaSarabim only extends until where? Only extends until yud. So this is very interesting. So if you throw an object and it hits the wall and it sticks to the wall above yud, you're not chayy for that. Lamata miyutfachim, but if it comes to rest below 10 tfachim, kizorik baretz. Ultimately, again, it is as if it is coming to rest on the ground. Vavidama, we asked about this. My kizorik baretz, what does it mean if it's coming to rest on the ground? Vahalonach, I don't understand, but it hasn't come to rest on the ground. In other words, what's the case? How can you say that it's come to rest on the ground if it actually hasn't come to rest on the ground? To which the Gemara says, Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bidvela Shmeina Shanu. What are we talking about? Well, say, like we said before, a sticky, schmaltzy, overripe fig. That's the case. That's where it's coming to rest on the wall. So I'll say, the Gemara asks an interesting question. If you want to assume over here that halacha lemaisa, why do you have to set it up? So I'll say, what the Gemara is going to ask is as follows. We're going to stop actually over here at this point, but I'll just say where we're leaving off. Where we're leaving off is as follows. The Gemara is presupposing that we're once again talking about a case of a fig. And therefore, the case that we're dealing with over here is if the fig sticks to the wall above 10, then halacha lemaisa your pater. Below 10, you'll be chayiv. Because again, once the object sticks to the wall, it's come to rest. To which the Gemara says, why do you have to go ahead and set this up as a case, ultimately, of a sticky fig? Whereas you could just as easily set this up as what? Dealing with the case of what, Rabbi Osai, where there's a hole in the wall. And therefore, what are you doing? You're throwing, let's say, a pebble or a stone, and we could be talking about a case, ultimately, where the item comes to rest inside of the wall itself. Because after all, what are we saying? Chorei Kirshus HaRabim is like what? Is like what? The holes or the crevices of Rosh Hashanah are just like what? Just like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself. So again, we'll stop over here for today. In Meretz Hashem, I know I'm leaving kind of in the middle of the case, but we'll continue Meretz Hashem with this case. Shout out to tomorrow. Shkar HaVosei. Parsha Zera. Recorded.